January of 1989. Early in 1989, I was assigned to an investigation involving the Chicago Board of Trade and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange commodities investigation involving fraud at those exchanges, where traders were defrauding or cheating customers of money in trades executed on the floor of those exchanges. Afterwards, I was assigned to a large highway fraud investigation where a large contractor was overbilling for materials used on road construction projects and defrauding union workers out of certain pay and benefits. During approximately this time, starting in 1994, as an additional duty to investigating white-collar crimes, I was a member of Chicago's evidence response team, where I received specialized training in searching, collecting, and documenting evidence collected at crime scenes. In that role, I was sent to the crime scene at the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. I was sent to Nairobi, Kenya, to the investigation of the bombing of the U.S. Embassy in 1998. And on September the 11th, 2001, our evidence response team was sent to Somerset, Pennsylvania, to investigate the crash of United Airlines Flight 93. Starting in approximately 2003, I was assigned to a series of investigations involving public corruption. That are documented in this complaint.
Kane, do you have experience dealing with the non-consensual interception of oral and wire communications?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Agent, I'd like to ask about your involvement in this investigation that led to the filing of this criminal complaint against Governor Blagojevich. I'd like to turn your attention to paragraph 2 of your affidavit, Exhibit 3. I'm going to read it to you. I have participated in and am familiar with this investigation through interviews and analysis of reports submitted by other special agents of the FBI, the Internal Revenue Service, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, and the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Inspector General. Personal interviews conducted with witnesses, my review of consensually recorded conversations, a review of pen register information, trap and trace information, and telephone toll record information, and a review of information derived from the interception of wire communications occurring to and from certain telephones. I am also familiar with information derived from the interception of oral communications occurring in the offices of Friends of Blagojevich, 4147 North Ravenswood Avenue, Suite 300, Chicago, Illinois. In addition, I am familiar with testimony given during the trial of Antoine Rezko from March to May of 2008. Agent Kane, is paragraph 2 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'd like to turn your attention to some of the details of this investigation that led to the ultimate intercepting of conversations involving the governor at his home and at his campaign office, as you recounted in paragraph 2. And I'd like to turn your attention to paragraph 14 of your affidavit. Paragraph 14. As detailed below, in early October 2008, the government obtained information that Rod Blagojevich was accelerating his corrupt fundraising activities to accumulate as much money as possible before the implementation of ethics legislation on January 1, 2009. That would severely curtail Rod Blagojevich's ability to raise money from individuals and entities conducting business within the state of Illinois. Based in part on the recently obtained information and as part of the investigation into Rod Blagojevich's corrupt fundraising efforts, in October 2008, the government obtained court approval to intercept oral communications in certain locations in the offices of Friends of Blagojevich. In addition, as part of its investigation, The government obtained court approval to intercept wire communications on the home phone of Rod Blagojevich. Specifically, on October 21, 2008, Chief Judge James F. Holderman signed an order authorizing the interception of oral communications for a 30-day period in two rooms at the Friends of Blagojevich office, the personal office of Rod Blagojevich, and the conference room. On the morning of October 22, 2008, the FBI began intercepting oral communications in those rooms. On November 19, 2008, Chief Judge James F. Holderman signed an order authorizing the continued interception of oral communications in the two rooms at the Friends of Blagojevich office for a second 30-day period. On October 29, 2008, Chief Judge James Holderman entered an order authorizing the interception of wire communications to and from a landline telephone subscribed to Rod Blagojevich's home address and used by Rod Blagojevich and others. The interception of wire communications to and from Rod Blagojevich's home phone began on the evening of October 29, 2008. On November 26, 2008, Acting Chief Judge Matthew F. Kennelly signed an order authorizing the continued interception of wire communications on Rod Blagojevich's home phone for a second 30-day period. Agent Kane, is that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, so we've talked about the fact that you have, we are now at the point where the court has authorized the federal government to intercept communications at the governor's campaign office and at his home phone. I'd now like to talk to you a little bit about the recorded conversations that resulted from these interceptions. Agent, throughout Exhibit 3, throughout this 76-page affidavit, you summarize various statements made by the governor and you quote various statements made by the governor. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain the general procedures you followed in verifying the accuracy of those summaries or those quotes?
Yes. FBI agents listened to the recorded conversations repeatedly and repeatedly compared those conversations to the quotes and the summaries in the complaints. There were a lot of people that listened to and compared these quotes and summaries a lot of times during the process.
Okay, so after the summaries or the quotes were drafted into an affidavit, they were then compared back. Agents would then re-listen to the tapes to make sure that these summaries or quotes were accurate?
That's correct.
Can you tell us, for any particular conversation, how many times one of your agents would have listened to these tapes, to these recordings?
I can't give you an exact number of times for the entirety of the recordings. I can say it depended on the length of the recording and the complexity of the recording, but agents would listen to the recording repeatedly as many times as necessary to verify the accuracy of the summary and the quote.
Let me ask you about voice identification. There are a number of times in this complaint where you attribute statements to Governor Rod Blagojevich. How did you positively identify the voice of the governor as the one making those statements?
Well, the governor is a very public figure, speaking at public appearances in the media, on television, the radio. So there is a certain voice recognition with that element alone. But we placed the bugs in the campaign office, in his campaign office, and tapped his telephone where we knew he had conversations. We would listen to those telephone conversations, and at times he would self-identify during those conversations. At times other people would identify him or reference him, and that would be the next voice that would appear during the conversation. Also, there were various other methods used to identify the governor's voice, but In the end, we were very confident that it was the governor's voice in those conversations.
Did you have any difficulty in identifying his voice?
No, we did not.
Agent Kane, for each statement in this affidavit, we're going to go through this affidavit in some detail, but let me ask you at the outset. For each statement in this affidavit that you attributed to Governor Rod Blagojevich, did you positively identify the voice as Governor Blagojevich's voice?
Yes, we did.
I'd like to get into some specifics now, and I'd like to first turn to the allegations, the information in your affidavit relating to the United States Senate seat. I'm going to first direct your attention to paragraph 86, if I could. And I will note that above paragraph 86 in this affidavit is the heading, Evidence Concerning Efforts to Obtain Personal Benefits for Rod Blagojevich in Return for His Appointment of a United States Senator. Just for the record. Paragraph 86. Intercepted phone calls demonstrate that Rod Blagojevich, John Harris, and others have engaged and are engaged in efforts to obtain personal gain, including financial gain, for the benefit of Rod Blagojevich and his family through the corrupt use of Rod Blagojevich's authority as governor of the state of Illinois to fill the vacant United States Senate seat previously held by the president-elect. Agent Kane, at the time you executed this affidavit, was that paragraph true and accurate? To
yes.
The best of your knowledge? Thank you. Paragraph 87, sir. By law, after the president-elect's resignation of his position as a U.S. senator, which was effective on November 16, 2008, Rod Blagojevich has sole authority to appoint his replacement for the 2 years remaining on the president's Senate term. I'm sorry, the president-elect's Senate term. There's a citation to state law. During the course of this investigation, agents have intercepted a series of communications regarding the efforts of Rod Blagojevich, John Harris, and others to misuse this power to obtain personal gain, including financial gain, for Rod Blagojevich and his family. In particular, Rod Blagojevich has been intercepted conspiring to trade the Senate seat for particular positions that the president-elect has the power to appoint, for example, the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Rod Blagojevich has also been intercepted conspiring to sell the Senate seat in exchange for his wife's placement on paid corporate boards or Rod Blagojevich's placement at a private foundation in a significant position with a substantial salary. Rod Blagojevich has also been intercepted conspiring to sell the Senate seat in exchange for millions of dollars in funding for a nonprofit organization that he would start and that would employ him at a substantial salary after he left the governorship. Agent Kane, at the time you executed this affidavit, was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I'd like to, well, you know what, let's go to paragraph 88, the following one. Set out below are summaries of certain of the conversations referenced above. This affidavit does not include all calls dealing with the corrupt efforts of Rod Blagojevich, John Harris, and others to misuse the power of Rod Blagojevich to appoint a United States senator for the personal gain of Rod Blagojevich and his family. Nor does this affidavit set forth other calls where Rod Blagojevich and others discussed a possible appointment to the Senate seat based on considerations other than financial gain for Rod Blagojevich and his family. Discussions which took place with greater frequency after efforts to arrange for a private job for Rod Blagojevich in exchange for appointing a particular candidate to the open Senate seat did not meet with success. As set forth below, more recent discussions focused on an effort to obtain campaign contributions up front in consideration of an appointment to the Senate. At the time you executed this affidavit, was paragraph 88 true and accurate to your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So now we're going to go to a series of intercepted conversations, to summaries and some quotations of those conversations. I'm going to take you first to paragraph 89. On November 3rd, 2008, I'm going to stop for a second, if I could. Your Honor, as we now start to get into some of these statements, we are going to be using some of the demonstrative exhibits that have been admitted into evidence. If it pleases the court and the body, our intention was to just put them up at the time that these statements are being read in. I can stop each time and seek leave if you prefer. It's really your choice. But I think we are prepared to put them up as we go. And these.
Seat as you have indicated.
Okay, thank you very much, Your Honor. Thank you. I'm going to start again with paragraph 89. On November 3rd, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Deputy Governor A. This discussion occurred the day before the United States presidential election. Rod Blagojevich and Deputy Governor A discussed the potential Senate seat vacancy. During the conversation, Rod Blagojevich told Deputy Governor A that if he is not going to get anything of value for the open Senate seat, then Rod Blagojevich will take the Senate seat himself. Quote, if they're not going to offer anything of any value, then I might just take it. Agent Kane, was that paragraph true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Paragraph 90. Later on November 3rd, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with Advisor A. By this time, media reports indicated that Senate Candidate 1, an advisor to the president-elect, was interested in the Senate seat if it became vacant and was likely to be supported by the president-elect. During the call, Rod Blagojevich stated, quote, unless I get something real good for Senate Candidate 1, blank, I'll just send myself. You know what I'm saying. Rod Blagojevich later stated, quote, I'm going to keep this Senate option for me a real possibility, you know, and therefore I can drive a hard bargain. You hear what I'm saying. And if I don't get what I want and I'm not satisfied with it, then I'll just take the Senate seat myself. Close quote. Later, Rod Blagojevich stated that the Senate seat is a... Let me start that over. Later, Rod Blagojevich stated that the Senate seat, quote, is a effing valuable thing. You just don't give it away for nothing. Close quote. Agent Kane, was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Paragraph 91. On November 4th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with Deputy Governor A. This was the same day as the United States presidential election. With respect to the Senate seat, Deputy Governor A suggested putting together a list of things that Rod Blagojevich would accept in exchange for the Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich responded that the list, quote, can't be in writing, close quote. Thereafter, Rod Blagojevich discussed whether he could obtain an ambassadorship in exchange for the Senate seat. Agent Kane, was that paragraph true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay, we're going to stay on November 4th, paragraph 92. On November 4th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with John Harris regarding the potential vacant Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich stated that the, quote, trick is how do you conduct indirectly a negotiation, close quote, for the Senate seat. Thereafter, Rod Blagojevich analogized his situation to that of a sports agent shopping a potential free agent to various teams, stating, quote, how much are you offering, President-elect? What are you offering, Senate Candidate 2? Can always go to Senate Candidate 3. Later, Rod Blagojevich stated that he will make a decision on the Senate seat, quote, in good faith, but it is not coming for free. It's got to be good stuff for the people of Illinois and good for me. Close quote. Rod Blagojevich states, quote, President-elect, you want it? Fine. But it's got to be good or I could always take the Senate seat. Close quote. Agent Kane, was paragraph 92 true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. We're going to move to the following day now, November 5th, 2008. Paragraph 93. On November 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with Deputy Governor A regarding positions that Rod Blagojevich might be able to obtain in exchange for the soon-to-be-vacated Senate seat. Among the potential positions discussed were Secretary of Health and Human Services and various ambassadorships. Deputy Governor A noted that the cabinet position of Secretary of the Energy is, quote, the one that makes the most money, close quote. Deputy Governor A stated that it is hard not to give the Secretary of Energy position to a Texan, but with Rod Blagojevich's coal background, it might be a possibility. Was paragraph 93 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Staying on November 5th and paragraph 94, sir. On November 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with John Harris regarding what Rod Blagojevich could obtain for the Senate seat. After discussing various federal governmental positions that Rod Blagojevich would trade the Senate seat for, Rod Blagojevich asked about, quote, the private sector, close quote, and whether the president-elect could, quote, put something together there, something big, close quote. Thereafter, Harris suggested that the president-elect could make Rod Blagojevich the head of a private foundation. Rod Blagojevich told Harris that he should do, quote, homework, close quote, on private foundations, quote, right away, close quote. Rod Blagojevich asked whether he could get a high-ranking position at the Red Cross. Harris stated that, quote, it's got to be a group that is dependent on the president-elect, close quote, and that a president probably could not influence the Red Cross. Rod Blagojevich told Harris to, quote, look into all of those, close quote. Agent Kane, was that paragraph true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Staying on November 5th, paragraph 95, on November 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris and Deputy Governor A. They discussed potential private foundations with which Rod Blagojevich might be able to get a position in exchange for filling the Senate seat, and in particular, those foundations that are, quote, heavily dependent on federal aid, close quote, and which, therefore, the White House would have the most, quote, influence on. Rod Blagojevich wanted to know how much the positions being discussed pay. Was paragraph 95 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit, sir?
Yes, it was.
Staying on November 5th and paragraph 96, on November 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Advisor A about the Senate seat. During the call, Rod Blagojevich stated that the president-elect can remove somebody from a foundation and give the spot to Rod Blagojevich. In regards to the Senate seat, Rod Blagojevich stated, quote, I've got this thing, and it's effing golden, and I'm just not giving it up for effing nothing. I'm not going to do it, and I can always use it. I can parachute me there, close quote. Agent, was paragraph 96 true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
I'm going to jump to November 7th, which is paragraph 98. On November 7th, On November 7th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Advisor A about the Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich said that he is willing to, quote, trade, close quote, the Senate seat to Senate Candidate 1 in exchange for the position of Secretary of Health and Human Services in the President-elect's cabinet. Agent Kane, was paragraph 98 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Staying on November 7th and paragraph 99. Later on November 7th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich discussed the open Senate seat in a three-way call with John Harris and Advisor B, a Washington, D.C.-based consultant. Rod Blagojevich indicated in the call that if he was appointed as Secretary of Health and Human Services by the President-elect, then Rod Blagojevich would appoint Senate Candidate 1 to the open Senate seat. Harris stated, quote, we wanted our ask to be reasonable, and rather than make it look like some sort of selfish grab for a quid pro quo. Rod Blagojevich stated that he needs to consider his family and that he is, quote, financially, close quote, hurting. Harris said that they are considering what will help the, quote, financial security of the Blagojevich family and what will keep Rod Blagojevich, quote, politically viable. Rod Blagojevich stated, quote, I want to make money, close quote. During the call, Rod Blagojevich, Harris and Advisor B discussed the prospect of working a three-way deal for the open Senate seat. Harris noted that Rod Blagojevich is interested in taking a high-paying position with an organization called Change to Win, which is connected to Service Employees International Union, or SEIU. Continuing on with paragraph 99. Harris suggested that SEIU official make Rod Blagojevich the head of Change to Win, and in exchange, the president-elect could help Change to Win with its legislative agenda on a national level. Advisor B asked why SEIU official cannot just give the job to Rod Blagojevich. Harris responded that it would be just a big, quote, giveaway for SEIU official and Change to Win, since there are already individuals on the Change to Win payroll doing the functions of the position that would be created for Rod Blagojevich. Harris said that Change to Win will want to trade the job for Rod Blagojevich for something from the president-elect. Harris suggested a, quote, three-way deal, close quote, and explained that a three-way deal like the one discussed would give the president-elect a, quote, buffer, so there is no obvious quid pro quo for Senate candidate one. Rod Blagojevich stated that for him to give up the governorship for the Change to Win position, the Change to Win position must pay a lot more than he is getting paid right now. Advisor B stated that he liked the idea of the three-way deal. Rod Blagojevich stated that he is interested in making $250,000 to $300,000 and being on some organization boards. Advisor B said they should leverage the president-elect's desire to have Senate candidate one appointed to the Senate seat in order to get a head position with Change to Win and a salary. Advisor B agreed that the three-way deal would be a better plan than Rod Blagojevich appointing Senate candidate two to the Senate and getting more done as governor. I believe there's also a footnote here that says, this, which I will read, open source. Source information in affiliated with seven unions, including having the affiliated unions work together on matters of common interest. SEIU official is affiliated with SEIU. Was paragraph 99 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit, agent?
Yes, it was.
I would also state to the members that we did introduce an explanatory exhibit with regard to Change to Win, couple of pages from their website. That should be in your packet. Turning to November 8th, and this will be paragraph 100, agent and the members. On November 8th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris about the Senate seat. During the conversation, Rod Blagojevich and Harris discussed whether it would be possible to obtain a financial benefit for Rod Blagojevich's wife in relation to the Senate seat. Specifically, Rod Blagojevich referred to his wife's Series 7 license and asked, quote, is there a play here with these guys with her, close quote, to work for a firm in Washington or New York at a significantly better salary than she is making now. Also, Rod Blagojevich wanted to know whether SEIU could do something to get his wife a position at Change to Win until Rod Blagojevich could take a position at Change to Win. Was paragraph 100 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit, sir?
Yes, it was.
Moving to an intercepted conversation on November 10th, and this is paragraph 101. On November 10th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich, his wife, John Harris, Governor General Counsel, and various Washington, D.C.-based advisors, including Advisor B, discussed the open Senate seat during a conference call. The Washington, D.C.-based advisors to Rod Blagojevich are believed to have participated on this call from Washington, D.C. Various individuals participated at different times during the call. The call lasted for approximately 2 hours, and what follows are simply summaries of various portions of the two-hour call. Subparagraph A. Rod Blagojevich expressed his interest in figuring out a way to make money and build some financial security while at the same time potentially participating in the political arena again. Rod Blagojevich mentioned the Senate seat, the dynamics of a new presidential administration with the strong contacts that Rod Blagojevich has in it, and asked what, if anything, he can do to make that work for him and his wife and his responsibilities as governor of Illinois. Rod Blagojevich suggested during the call that he could name himself to the open Senate seat to avoid impeachment by the state of Illinois legislature. Rod Blagojevich agreed it was unlikely that the president-elect would name him Secretary of Health and Human Services or give him an ambassadorship because of all of the negative publicity surrounding Rod Blagojevich. B. Rod Blagojevich asked what he can get from the president-elect for the Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich stated that Governor General Counsel believes the president-elect can get Rod Blagojevich's wife on paid corporate boards in exchange for naming the president-elect's pick to the Senate. Governor General Counsel asked, quote, can the president-elect help in the private sector where it wouldn't be tied to him? I mean, so it wouldn't necessarily look like one for the other, close quote. Rod Blagojevich's wife suggested during the call that she is qualified to sit on corporate boards and has a background in real estate and appraisals. Rod Blagojevich asked whether there is something that could be done with his wife's Series 7 license in terms of working out a deal for the Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich stated that he is, quote, struggling, close quote, financially, and does, quote, not want to be governor for the next 2 years, close quote. C. Rod Blagojevich said that the consultants, Advisor B and another consultant are believed to be on the call at that time, are telling him that he has to, quote, suck it up for 2 years and do nothing and give this blank, referring to the president-elect, his senator. F him. For nothing, F him, close quote. Rod Blagojevich states that he will put Senate Candidate 4 in the Senate before I just give effing Senate Candidate 1 an effing Senate seat and I don't get anything, close quote. Senate Candidate 4 is a deputy governor of the state of Illinois. Rod Blagojevich stated that he needs to find a way to take the, quote, financial stress, close quote, off of his family and that his wife is as qualified or more qualified than another specifically named individual to sit on corporate boards. According to Rod Blagojevich, quote, the immediate challenge is how do we take some of the financial pressure off of our family, close quote. Later in the phone call, Rod Blagojevich stated that absent getting something back, Rod Blagojevich will not pick Senate Candidate 1. Harris restated Rod Blagojevich's thoughts that they should ask the president-elect for something for Rod Blagojevich's financial security, as well as maintain his political viability. Harris said they could work out a three-way deal with SEIU and the president-elect, where SEIU could help the president-elect with Rod Blagojevich's appointment of Senate Candidate 1 to the vacant Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich would obtain a position as the national director of the Change to Win campaign, and SEIU would get something favorable from the president-elect in the future. D. One of Rod Blagojevich's advisors said he likes the idea. It sounds like a good idea, but advised Rod Blagojevich to be leery of promises for something 2 years from now. Rod Blagojevich's wife said they would take the job now. Thereafter, Rod Blagojevich and others on the phone call discussed various ways Rod Blagojevich can, quote, monetize, close quote, the relationships he is making as governor to make money after Rod Blagojevich is no longer governor. Agent was all of this paragraph 101 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit, sir?
Yes, it was.
I believe we're staying on the date of November 10th, another intercepted phone conversation. Paragraph 102. Later on November 10th, Rod Blagojevich and Advisor A discussed the open Senate seat. Among other things, Rod Blagojevich raised the issue of whether the president-elect could help get Rod Blagojevich's wife on, quote, paid corporate boards right now, close quote. Advisor A responded that he, quote, thinks they could, close quote, and that, quote, a president-elect can do almost anything he sets his mind to, close quote. Rod Blagojevich states that he will appoint, quote, Senate Candidate 1, but if they feel like they can do this and not effing give me anything, then I'll effing go Senate Candidate 5. Close quote. Senate Candidate 5 is publicly reported to be interested in the open Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich stated that if his wife could get on some corporate boards and, quote, picks up another $150,000 a year or whatever, close quote, it would help Rod Blagojevich get through the next several years as governor. Agent, was this paragraph true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
I'm going to jump to November 11th now, paragraph 104. On November 11, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris about the Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich suggested starting a 501c4 organization, a nonprofit organization that may engage in political activity and lobbying, and getting, quote, his, and this is believed to be the president-elect's, his friend Warren Buffett or some of those guys to help us on something like that, close quote. Harris asked, quote, what, for you? Close quote. Rod Blagojevich replied, yeah. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich stated that if he appoints Senate Candidate 4 to the Senate seat and thereafter it appears that Rod Blagojevich might get impeached, he could, quote, count on Senate Candidate 4, if things got hot, to give the Senate seat up and let me parachute over there, close quote. Harris said, quote, you can count on Senate Candidate 4 to do that, close quote. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich said he knows that the president-elect wants Senate Candidate 1 for the Senate seat, but, quote, they're not willing to give me anything except appreciation. F them. Close quote. Agent, was paragraph 104 true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Paragraph 105, we're staying on November 11th, another intercepted phone conversation that day. 105, later on November 11th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Advisor A. Advisor A indicated that he will stay, quote, on top of getting the Senate Candidate 5 information leaked to the particular Sun-Times columnist. Rod Blagojevich again raised the idea of the 501c4 organization and asked whether, quote, they, believed to be the president-elect and his associates, can get Warren Buffett and others to put $10, $12, or $15 million into that organization. Advisor A responded that they should be able to find a way to fund the organization. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich returned to the issue of the 501c4 organization and noted that he is looking for $10, $15, $20 million in an organization like that. That was, I'm sorry, a quote. Quote, $10, $15, $20 million in an organization like that, close quote. Rod Blagojevich said that when he is, quote, no longer governor, close quote, he could go over to that organization. Rod Blagojevich said that, quote, Senate Candidate 6, based on other intercepted conversations, is believed to be a wealthy person from Illinois. Senate Candidate 6, quote, could raise me money like that for a Senate seat, close quote. Rod Blagojevich asked, if I get Senate Candidate 6 to do something like that, is it worth giving him the Senate seat? Advisor A responded that it would be hard to put Senate Candidate 6 in the Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich said that it would be better than putting Senate Candidate 1 in the Senate and not getting anything back. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich and Advisor A again discussed the possibility of a 501c4 organization, and Rod Blagojevich again noted that, quote, Senate Candidate 6 could, quote, do it. Rod Blagojevich and Advisor A discussed who might be close to Senate Candidate 6 to talk with him about the issue, because Rod Blagojevich did not, quote, want to be the one to ask something like that, close quote. Advisor A agreed to find out who is close to Senate Candidate 5. Agent, was paragraph 105 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Moving to November 12th, an intercepted conversation between the governor and his chief of staff. Paragraph 106. On November 12th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich noted that CNN is reporting that Senate Candidate 1 does not want the open Senate seat. Harris said, that is just a tactic. Rod Blagojevich raised the issue of the 501c4 organization and that contributors and others can put, quote, 10 to 15 million in it so I can advocate health care and other issues I care about and help them. While I stay as governor, she's, believed to be Senate candidate one, a senator, close quote. Rod Blagojevich noted that the president-elect can ask Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and others for money for that organization. Rod Blagojevich states he will ask, quote, Senate candidate six to help fund it as well. Harris said that funding the 501c4 would be a lot easier for the president-elect than appointing Rod Blagojevich to a position. Rod Blagojevich said, quote, they could say, hey, we get Senate candidate one. Let's help this guy have a 501c4 issue advocacy organization. Let's fund it to the level he's asked for, and then we'll get Senate candidate one. Close quote. Rod Blagojevich said that he will control the 501c organization through a board of directors while he is governor, and then a position in the 501c4 would be waiting for him when he was no longer governor. Was paragraph 106 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit, Agent Kane?
Yes, it was.
Staying on November 12th, paragraph 107, another intercepted conversation. On November 12th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Advisor B. Rod Blagojevich discussed with Advisor B his ideas for a 501c4 organization. Advisor B stated that he likes the idea, but liked the change to win option better, because according to Advisor B, from the president-elect's perspective, there would be fewer, quote, fingerprints on the president-elect's involvement with change to win, because Change to Win already has an existing stream of revenue. And therefore, quote, you won't have stories in 4 years that they bought you off, close quote. Rod Blagojevich said that he likes the 501c4 idea because he knows it will be there in 2 years when he is no longer governor, whereas Change to Win might not be. Agent, was paragraph 107 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Paragraph 108, staying on the same date, November 12th. On November 12, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with one of his Washington, D.C.-based advisors. Rod Blagojevich explained the 501c organization idea to the advisor and that, quote, the president-elect gets these Warren Buffett types to fund it, close quote. The advisor asked Rod Blagojevich if the 501c4 is a real effort or just a vehicle to help Rod Blagojevich. Rod Blagojevich stated that it is a real effort, but also a place for Rod Blagojevich to go when he is no longer governor. The advisor said he likes the change to win idea better and notes that it is more likely to happen because it is one step removed from the president-elect. Agent, was that paragraph true at the time you signed the affidavit?
Yes.
Okay. Staying on November 12th, paragraph 109. On November 12th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with SEIU official who was in Washington, D.C., prior intercepted phone conversations indicate that approximately a week before this call, Rod Blagojevich met with SEIU official to discuss the vacant Senate seat, and Rod Blagojevich understood that SEIU official was an emissary to discuss Senate candidate one's interest in the Senate seat. During the conversation with SEIU official on November 12, 2008, Rod Blagojevich informed SEIU official that he had heard the president-elect wanted persons other than Senate candidate one to be considered for the Senate seat. SEIU official stated that he would find out if Senate candidate one wanted SIU official to keep pushing her for senator with Rod Blagojevich. Rod Blagojevich said that, quote, one thing I'd be interested in, close quote, is a 501c4 organization. Rod Blagojevich explained the 501c4 idea to SEIU official and said that the 501c4 could help, quote, our new senator, Senate Candidate 1. SEIU official agreed to, quote, put that flag up and see where it goes, close quote. Was paragraph 109 true and accurate, Agent, at the time you signed the affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. A follow-up conversation on November 12th is in paragraph 110. On November 12th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Advisor B. Rod Blagojevich told Advisor B that he told SEIU official, quote, I said go back to Senate Candidate 1 and say, hey, look, if you still want to be a senator, don't rule this out, and then broach the idea of this 501c4 with her, close quote. Agent, was that paragraph true and accurate at the time you signed the affidavit?
Yes.
Paragraph 111, also on November 12th. Later on November 12, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich stated that his decision about the open Senate seat will be based on three criteria in the following order of importance. Quote, our legal situation, our personal situation, my political situation. This decision, like every other one, needs to be based upon that. Legal, personal, political. Close quote. Harris said, quote, legal is the hardest one to satisfy. Rod Blagojevich said that his legal problems could be solved by naming himself to the Senate seat. Agent Kane, was paragraph 111 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Excuse me. Moving to paragraph 112 and the date of November 13th. On November 13th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich said he wanted to be able to call, quote, President-elect advisor and tell President-elect advisor that, quote, this has nothing to do with anything else we're working on, but the governor wants to put together a 501c4. And, quote, can you guys help him raise 10, 15 million? Rod Blagojevich said he wanted President-elect advisor to get the word today. That's a quote. President-elect advisor to get the word today, close quote. And that when, quote, he asks me for the fifth CD thing, I want it to be in his head. In a parenthetical, the reference to the fifth CD thing is believed to relate to a seat in the United States House of Representatives from Illinois' 5th Congressional District. Prior intercepted phone conversations indicate that Rod Blagojevich and others were determining whether Rod Blagojevich has the power to appoint an interim replacement until a special election for the seat can be held. Close parentheses. Was paragraph 112 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief, Agent Kane?
Yes.
Paragraph 114, also on November 13th. I'm sorry, paragraph 113. Also on November 13th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with Advisor A. Rod Blagojevich said he wants the idea of the 501c4 in President-elect Advisor's head, but not in connection with the Senate appointment or the congressional seat. Advisor A asked whether the conversation about the 501c4 with President-elect advisor is connected with anything else. Rod Blagojevich replied that, quote, it's unsaid. It's unsaid. Close quote. Agent, was paragraph 13 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Paragraph 114. Later on November 13, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with Advisor A. Rod Blagojevich asked Advisor A to call Individual A and have Individual A pitch the idea of the 501c4 to President-elect Advisor. Advisor said, while it's not, quote, let me start that over. Advisor A said that, quote, while it's not said, this is a play to put in play other things, close quote. Rod Blagojevich responded, quote, correct. Advisor A asked if this is, quote, because we think there's still some life in Senate Candidate 1, potentially. Rod Blagojevich said, quote, not so much her, but possibly her, but others. Was paragraph 114 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Now I'm going to turn to paragraph 115, which has several subparts. Paragraph 115, throughout the past month, Rod Blagojevich has continued to engage in numerous conversations relating to filling the open Senate seat. In these conversations, he has repeatedly discussed the attributes of potential candidates, including, among other things, the candidate's ability to benefit the state of Illinois and the personal and political benefits for himself and his family of appointing particular candidates. These calls have included the following. A. On December 4th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke to Advisor B and informed Advisor B that he was giving Senate Candidate 5 greater consideration for the Senate seat because, among other things, if Rod Blagojevich ran for re-election, Senate candidate 5 would, quote, raise money for Rod Blagojevich, although Rod Blagojevich said he might, quote, get some money up front, maybe, from Senate candidate 5 to ensure Senate candidate 5 kept his promise about raising money for Rod Blagojevich. Parentheses, in a recorded conversation on October 31, 2008, Rod Blagojevich described an earlier approach by an associate of Senate candidate 5 as follows, quote, we were approached pay to play, that, you know, he'd raise me 500 grand. An emissary came. Then the other guy would raise $1 million if I made him, Senate candidate 5, a senator. Subparagraph B. Later on December 4th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke to fundraiser A. Rod Blagojevich stated he was, quote, elevating Senate candidate 5 on the list of candidates for the open Senate seat. Rod Blagojevich stated he might be able to cut a deal with Senate candidate 5 that provided Rod Blagojevich with something, quote, tangible up front, close quote. Rod Blagojevich noted he was going to meet with Senate candidate 5 in the next few days. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A to reach out to individual D, an individual who Rod Blagojevich is attempting to obtain campaign contributions from and who, based on other intercepted phone calls, Rod Blagojevich believes to be close to Senate candidate 5. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A to tell individual D that Senate candidate 5 was very much a realistic candidate for the open Senate seat, but that Rod Blagojevich was getting, quote, a lot of pressure not to appoint Senate candidate 5. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A to tell individual D that Rod Blagojevich had a problem with Senate candidate 5 just promising to help Rod Blagojevich, because Rod Blagojevich had a prior bad experience with Senate candidate 5 not keeping his word. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A to tell individual D that if Senate candidate 5 is going to be chosen to fill the Senate seat, quote, some of this stuff's got to start happening now, right now, and we got to see it. You understand? Close quote. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A that, quote, you got to be careful how you express that and assume everybody's listening. The whole world is listening. You hear me? Close quote. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A to tell individual D if there is, quote, tangible political support, campaign contributions, like you've said, start showing us now. Close quote. Fundraiser A stated he will call individual D on the phone to communicate Rod Blagojevich's message. Rod Blagojevich responded that, quote, I would do it in person. I would not do it on the phone. Rod Blagojevich told fundraiser A to communicate the urgency of the situation to individual D. C, on December 5th, excuse me, if I could stop for a moment. Okay. I apologize. Subparagraph C. On December 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke to fundraiser A. On the morning of December 5th, 2008, the Chicago Tribune ran a front-page news story stating that Rod Blagojevich had recently been surreptitiously recorded in relation to an ongoing criminal investigation. During the conversation on December 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich and fundraiser A discussed certain information contained in that newspaper story. Rod Blagojevich instructed fundraiser A to, quote, undo your individual D thing, close quote. Fundraiser A confirmed that it would be undone. D. Also on December 5th, 2008, after publication of the Tribune article described above, Rod Blagojevich and three others discussed whether to move money out of the Friends of Blagojevich campaign fund to avoid having the money frozen, and also considered the possibility of prepaying the money to Rod Blagojevich's criminal defense attorney, with an understanding that the attorney would donate the money back at a later time if it was not needed. They also discussed opening a new fundraising account named Citizens for Blagojevich, with new contributions received. Agent Kane was everything in paragraph 115, true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
And the final paragraph related to the Senate seat, paragraph 116. In addition, in the course of the conversations over the last month, Rod Blagojevich has spent significant